yesterday's attacks on another thing.
Some say that he does have ties to Muslim extremists. I don't know.
Life will not be the same for Mohammad Rafiq Shah, a resident of Indian-controlled Kashmir, who spent 12 years in prison for a crime he never committed. Barely 3 weeks after the 2005 deadly serial blasts in the Indian capital, Shah and two other Kashmiri men were picked up by a Delhi police team and were later charged with waging war against the state, conspiring, collecting arms, murder, and attempt to murder.
I was shown as executor of this serial blast. Despite this fact that I was present on that particular day in Kashmir University.
Shah, then 27 and a master's student at Kashmir University, repeatedly told the police and the court that he was in fact attending classes at the time of the blasts. It took the Indian judiciary some 11 years to come to the conclusion that the police failed miserably in their investigation.
First of all, I'm thankful to Allah that I have been acquitted from all the charges.
Despite his attendance record, submitted by four of his professors, the case went to trial, and Shah stayed in prison until he was acquitted by a trial court in Delhi in February 2017. Shah recalls how the officers barged into his Srinagar home around midnight, beat up his family members, and bundled him into a police car.
Beaten up, ruthlessly tortured, I pleaded that I have nothing to do with these serial blasts.
Shah's ordeal continued in the prison, where he was tortured almost on a daily basis, as he told the court during a hearing in 2008.
My trousers were filled with rats and my body was smeared with a live pig. When I was crying for help, they used to tell that every Kashmiri is a terrorist.
The acquittal of Shah triggered allegations of a botched-up police investigation. The police relied on a witness who had apparently provided a physical description of the man who planted the bomb in a bus and had even helped the cops draw a sketch of the accused. However, the witness told the court that he had only seen the bomber's back and could not identify the person. The portrait, too, disappeared from the police file and was never shown in court.
A lot of these Kashmiris have been identified as terrorists when they are really not terrorists at all.
Also acquitted in the blast case were Mohammed Hussein Fazili and Tariq Ahmed Dar. It was an emotional family reunion for the trio. The abduction of three Kashmiris was not a one-off case of Indian police picking up the wrong men and then trying to pass them off as terror accused. There are many such cases involving people from the disputed Himalayan region, as well as Muslims from other parts of India. The Indian media had widely published the acquittal of Shah and had criticized law enforcement agencies for their, quote, systematic inadequacies in delaying and perverting justice.
Government never tells us the truth about arresting the people. If you see, the government has acknowledged some people that they have arrested last year. But the truth is that hundreds of boys were every other day arrested and rounded up in police stations and kept in illegal custody.
In most cases, policemen are accused of fabricating evidence to build their case. That begs the question, do Muslims in India suffer a bias when it comes to imprisonment and conviction?
The police, the media, and the political actors, they interpret the acts of violence very differently.
India remained communally polarized ever since the country was partitioned into two by the British rule back in 1947, with Muslim-majority Pakistan and Hindu-majority India. Communal violence and polarization of communities have continued with the rise of the right-wing Hindu Nationalist Party and its allied Hindutva forces to power. The most disturbing was the 2002 Gujarat riots, when a three-day period of pogrom in the western Indian state left nearly 800 Muslims dead. After 14 years of waiting for justice, the families of the victims have described the court verdict with minor punishment for the accused as disappointing.
It is often assumed that if there is any act of violence by the Hindus, they are always retaliatory or in defense. Whereas any act of violence or the perception of it, if it is done by Muslims, it is always assumed that they are not loyal to the nation. They are not, their interest is not in line with the interest of the Indian nation or in the Indian state.
Indian Muslims often accuse law enforcement agencies of embedded bias, as the community has experienced the maximum fatalities and arrests during any communal carnage over the past three decades. While sparing fanatic Hindu groups, the Indian government and media often put the onus of blame on Muslim outfits. Several Muslim organizations have been banned over the past decades, while their members have faced extrajudicial killings.
This communal stuff that exists in India, there is definitely a religious biases there.
But that's not the case, according to Indian police, who claim the arrests are not to single out a particular community, but aimed at countering perpetrators of crimes or terror-related activities. According to the government figures, more than 80,000 Muslims are currently languishing in different Indian jails, a large number of them on terror charges.
What these data reveal is that between 1998 and 2014, the average percentage of Muslim population in India is 14%, whereas their percentage in terms of jail population is 21%.
If we look at the number of people, Muslims are under trial, they are not in jail, but under trial, a huge number of fined 30%, in some cases 34%, will fined in some states.
This recent video showing a Kashmiri man strapped to a patrolling Indian army jeep as a human shield against stone-throwing protesters is yet another evidence of abuse in the valley. That also exposes Indian authorities for their dealings in Kashmir, where human rights abuses by the Indian army and border security personnel are an ongoing issue.
How the Kashmiris are treated and victimized because of raising the voice against the state oppression.
The abuses range from mass killings, enforced disappearances, torture, rape, and sexual abuse to political repression and suppression of freedom of speech. International rights organizations have repeatedly asked India to allow them to launch independent investigations into the violations in the region. India has not only denied the requests, but has granted immunity to security forces for their crime under the controversial Armed Forces Special Powers Act.